One more time. Tony Pollard is in Tennessee. Derrick Henry is in Baltimore.
Henry is in Baltimore? What about Edwards?
He went to L.A.
What? I like Kyren Williams.
No, Ryan, the Chargers.
Eckler, though, what about him?
He went to Washington.
Well, then who the heck is Dallas rolling with?
Deuce Vaughn.
That's it.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Sports Bluff. I am your host, Tristan Bunn, alongside my friend, my confidant, my fellow football fool, Ryan Lambert, here to talk about, I was going to say all things free agency, but then we would be here until we're 96, because this has been one of the wildest free agency periods I've ever seen. It feels like it gets more insane every single year. This is another reason why the NFL is the best sport in the league. You don't have this happen in other sports where all these superstars move, but not as much as like basketball, to where it doesn't matter.
I was talking to a guy in our fantasy football league that we do for this show, and he was talking to me, and he's an older guy, you know, probably close to a time and a half our age. And he was playing fantasy football back when you had to meet, write down all your picks for the week and like actually add up the scores and all that. And he said that in his time of playing fantasy football, being an NFL fan, he doesn't remember a time where this many big names have been transitioned and flip-flopped in the free agency period.
Right.
And I have to agree. I mean, there's some big names. Let's start with the running backs. What a frenzy we've been through. And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here, but let's just go through some of the big names really quick,
okay.
Just naming them off. So Saquon went to the Eagles, Josh Jacobs to the Packers, Derrick Henry to the Ravens, Pollard went to the Titans, Eckler to the Commanders, DeAndre Swift to the Bears, Dub Bears, Gus Edwards to the Chargers, Zach Moss to the Bengals, and unbeknownst to me, Devin Singletary to the Giants. Don't know how that one slipped my radar, but I didn't know that until just behind the curtain here, till we started recording this episode, had no idea Singletary left. Anyway, what running back is your favorite in this free agency period, where they went to, the favorite signing of yours in this entire list here that I just read off to you?
Okay, I am torn. And by the way, that's not even all of them. We just kind of made a more narrow list. It's between two. It's between Derrick Henry to the Ravens and Josh Jacobs to the Packers. I'm going to say, though, even though it's probably the easy pick, I've got to go Derrick Henry to the Ravens for a couple of reasons, Ryan. We have speculated for a while. Imagine what Derrick Henry would look like, and imagine what a team would look like if they had Derrick Henry on a good team and with a good quarterback. Yes, there have been decent Titans teams, even good Titans teams. They were the one seed 1 year and lost in the playoffs. But imagine Henry behind a good quarterback, because in Tennessee, he was the threat. Every defense, it was all neutralize Henry, neutralize Henry, neutralize Henry. He's not in his prime anymore, but he is still very good. I don't think he's gone. And there is one thing that Tennessee struggled to adapt with Henry. They kept running like the zone running scheme. Like they would run him from shotgun. And Derrick Henry, especially now that he's older, needs to start moving downhill to get going. And when you run inside zone plays and stuff, you're moving side to side. Baltimore is going to run him more from under center, from single back, from I form, even from the pistol, and he's going to be able to get ahead of steam and move downhill. I think this is deadly. We saw Baltimore get away from the run in the playoffs last year, and it hurt him. I just think if you're a defense and you have to line up and say, wait, I have to worry about Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, to me, that is the best duo in the league.
I went a little outside of the box, okay? So what I did was I broke it down and said, okay, what team lost a star running back? They backfilled it with a running back that is super capable, that was maybe undervalued at the previous team he was at. For me, it's Gus Edwards.
Really? No kidding.
But look, this is why. So he's obviously got the Harbaugh connection, right? So he went from playing from one Harbaugh to the other. This offense is going to be a powerhouse team. I think Harbaugh is really going to open up what we think Herbert should have been the past 4 years he's been in the league. They lost Eckler. Would you like to know who their other running backs are in the room? It's Isaiah Spiller and Elijah Dotson.
Yeah, not much work to work with.
Who are we talking about here? Like, so this team went out and located a running back who didn't cost him that much, and also a two-year deal, $6.5 million. Like, for a running back, that's really not that much. This guy is a touchdown machine. So just last year, an average of 4.1 yards per attempt. That's pretty good. And in the end zone, he had 13 touchdowns on the ground. That's fourth among all running backs in the NFL this past season. They had to backfill Eckler. And when you look at just financial, like, this was the best bang for your buck that they probably could have gotten.
Right.
I don't think this team is going to be as run heavy or dump off heavy with, like they were with Eckler under Harbaugh's leadership. I think this is going to be a middle of the field strike, quick pass, slants. I think this is kind of how the team's going to function under Harbaugh. And if they can get into the red zone, they're going to need that running back that can put it on their shoulders and get them the touchdown. So what I'm saying is, if you want a fantasy pick early that is going to pay off, that's not going to cost you a lot, that you could probably pick up in the second round, don't be afraid to go Gus Edwards here.
Okay. Yeah, a couple, you said a lot of stuff, some I agree with, some I don't. First off, you brought up how Edwards performed last year. It was the best season of his career. I just looked it up while you were talking. 810 yards, 13 touchdowns, blows away anything else he's ever done. I like Gus Edwards. He is a reliable back. That word, reliable, gets used sometimes for running backs in a negative connotation. To me, that's not negative. That means I can rely on you. That means I can count on you. I disagree when you say that it's not going to be a run-heavy dump-off team like it was. They are not probably going to use the running backs in the pass game like they did that with Eckler, but that's all Eckler is now. He can't run through the tackles anymore. He is just a pass-catching back. That's kind of why Washington got him. But Harbaugh loves ground-and-pound football. That's what Michigan was. It's going to be ground-and-pound, short passing, kind of that West Coast offense mixed with punching you in the mouth. That's why he loves to build the trenches out. That's what they're going to be looking to do. I think they'll be adding another running back. I don't know who it will be, whether they get one in the draft or they try to get another guy later on. But even when you look at the contracts, Austin Eckler, he got signed 2 years, $11.43 million. Gus Edwards got signed 2 years, $6.5 million. So it's a cheaper deal for arguably a better player, if not a better player, then better suited to their needs at this time. And last point, what you just said, just talking about the contract in general, the Chargers were in such a bad situation. They were in cap hell. They had to make moves to rectify that. This was one of those moves, but I also think it makes the football team better under Harbaugh's identity.
Whether or not they are a ground to pound or dump off pass team, having a running back of Gus Edwards' potential in the red zone is really going to help down the stretch. I'm calling my shot now. I think this is going to be a huge addition to the Chargers. We talked about what you liked. Let's talk about what you dislike. Which running back did you not like most out of all of these that we are really, the big names, the big names?
It's not that I dislike any of the running backs. Does that make sense? It's not like I think any of them are bad. It's more of the situation. And I'm going to say Devin Singletary for the Giants, but more so the fact that they let it get to this point with Saquon. Obviously, they made the mistake 2 years ago when they signed Daniel Jones and franchise tagged Saquon Barkley. They wanted to do the opposite. They couldn't. And it feels like you let your best player leave for ultimately a couple million dollars. And it's not even what Saquon produces on the field for me as much as it is what he means to that organization and what he means in the locker room as a leader. Saquon Barkley was really the last pillar of what we have known the Giants to be over the past four or so years, right? I know they haven't been good, but he has been arguably the leader of that team to the outside. Is that fair? Do you see where I'm coming from with that? Or am I reaching?
No, I do. I see where you're coming from.
Because I don't mind Devin Singletary, and I understand the move, but we gave Devin Singletary 3 years, 16 and a half. I know they have to clean up cap. I know they are in a full rebuild. I understand that. But I mainly am knocking them for letting it get to this point. They could have gotten a deal done with Barkley and they signed Jones instead. That was all mismanagement. So I think it was poorly done. This isn't an indictment on Singletary. He is what he is. I actually like him as much as it is an indictment on the organization.
And that's probably number two on my list. I mean, you could argue it to be number one, and I would let you. But for sake of us both having the same person. I'm going to go with Austin Eckler and DeAndre Swift. I'm not super pumped about either one of them.
Are you not pumped about DeAndre Swift?
This is why. Because both of these teams are getting new what?
Quarterbacks?
Yes. I don't like having a running back with such great potential, and this is probably rooted in jealousy because I would have loved one of those guys at the Bills. But having these running backs, especially they're like DeAndre Swift's pretty young, but Austin Eckler's getting older, and I just don't like the idea of Austin Eckler going to the Commanders with a new quarterback and taking a downgrade. One of two things is going to happen. This is a huge downgrade, or they're going to rely on him so heavy that he's probably going to get injured at some point. Well, and I don't like either one of those outcomes.
They're just going to, I'm telling you, man, they are just going to use him in the passing game. He is not going to be a running back because they've still got Brian Robinson for that. I don't think they even needed Austin Eckler. I dislike the signing just off of financial reasons.
See what I'm saying? And then I also look in, and I know I've talked about fantasy a lot, but like when you talk about running backs, there's very few that get you like a lot of points. You have like maybe 8 to 9 running backs consistently getting you points. Austin Eckler was one of the most consistent running backs on a week-to-week basis.
But not last season.
He didn't do bad last season.
He wasn't good. I had him. I traded his ass. Yeah,
but not bad, though. I mean, look, I had Tony Pollard. That was bad. That was really bad, especially after the year he had before last, 2022. Like, Pollard just took a nosedive, and I'm afraid that's what's going to happen to Eckler. So, yeah, last year he regressed a little bit, but I think at the Commanders, he's just going to keep nosediving.
So, I'm with you. I don't know why we're arguing. I agree with you. I don't think the Commanders needed him. What I wonder is, adding him with this contract, 11.43 for 2 years, what is that bringing to your team that you're like, yeah, that really puts us on another level? I don't, when you have Brian Robinson.
Wouldn't you have rather gone and spent your money on a receiver or something?
Like, exactly.
Do you think the Eagles were dumb for signing Barkley?
When I initially heard it, I didn't like it at all. When I first heard it, I said, are you kidding me? Because what I saw was, you're giving Saquon 3 years, 37.5, and the Bears gave DeAndre Swift 3 years, 24. Why the hell would you not just keep DeAndre Swift? I would rather have him. To my understanding, they actually tried to. Like, they wanted to keep him, and then he ended up signing with the Bears. I don't know if it's because they didn't want to give him more than that, whatever. I'm not sure, but if I'm under that understanding where they actually tried to sign Swift first, okay. But instead, they go and sign Barkley. Barkley is a really good running back, and the more I thought about it, the more I don't want to say liked it, but I'm okay with it, because they're really not giving him that much money. And when you look at the Eagles' cap situation, I don't know how they're doing it, but they do not have a lot of cap hits. Like, they are able to have a lot of good players without going over the cap. They still have plenty of money to spend, and I think they want to take a lot of the workload off of Jalen Hurts. I don't know if I trust the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, to do that, but to me, that's what the signing of Saquon Barkley says. It says, we want to run the ball more and take some of the weight off Jalen Hurts because he's getting hurt every single week, and injuries are starting to be a problem. He can't run as much. You put Barkley behind that line, they can be dominant.
You said the key phrase that I was waiting for, and you weren't even talking about Barkley. You were talking about Jalen Hurts. But injury. 3 of the last 4 seasons, Saquon has missed sustainable time that actually mattered. So you're taking a big risk here, okay, with Barkley. And I know last season he did pretty good. I get it. But I'm with you. I'm not pumped about it, and I'm not depressed about it. I'm middle of the road. Like, I think it's going to help him because it's Saquon Barkley and he's still capable. But ultimately, what helps him is, like, there's no running backs, no really, really good running backs coming out of the draft class. So, like, he looks better than he probably should. He's maybe a little overvalued right now. But I think it's just kind of okay.
You think, like, he's overvalued?
I think he's a little overvalued. Yeah, I think he is. Because when you look at the running back market, it's like, yeah, he may be a top 5 running back, but like if we went back 5 years ago, he would fall somewhere in the 10 to 11 position.
I don't know.
We don't have the same running backs like we used to.
True, but last 2 years, he's been good. Like, because he had the injuries in 2020, 2021, the injuries, but 2022, 1,400 yards. Last year, 960 yards with no offensive line. I feel like that's
like
good
I
value.
Said, he's still explosive. So that's something he can hang his hat on. I hope he does good. And I hope this works out for the Eagles because, you know, losing Swift, they needed to offset that workload for Jalen Hurts. And, you know, they also lost Jason Kelce, so the line's not as strong potentially. And, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. But one thing's for sure, this is a huge red flag in the dirt saying, hey, everybody, we're running the ball this year, and this is who we're going to use to run that ball.
You mentioned just who he is and his age. I will say that is one of the things that I think about and that kind of concerns me is he is entering year 7 of his career. That is when you start to see, I mean, if you look at a chart of when running backs fall off, that's when it takes a nosedive, okay?
Except for Derrick Henry.
Sure, he is an anomaly. I think I understand why they did it. It's not my favorite move, but at the same time, I'm kind of hedging my bet here because I can see the potential upside, but I can see the ways it can go wrong. This is the thing I want to ask you because this is where I'm conflicted. Do you trust Kellen Moore to commit to a run game? Because I was telling my friend who was an Eagles fan, we were talking about it, and I said to him, it's super easy to commit to the run game in March. It's another thing in October when you actually have to do it week in and week out. So Kellen Moore can be pass happy. That was one of the problems McCarthy had with him in Dallas. Is this going to be different? I don't know.
I think this is how March is going for them. They're sitting around this table and they're all talking and they're like, Kellen, I really think we should run the ball more. He's like, guys, I got you. We got to run the ball more. What do you say we get Barkley in here? Barkley? Sounds great. Let's man, he's a good. Like, yeah, he's got a little bit of injury issue, but man, did you see him last season with no offensive line? Let's get him over here. Great. So playbook says, 40% of the time we're going to run. All right, great. Second game of the season. Hurts, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go run the ball.
Yeah, right.
That guy behind you, Barkley, let's just not worry about him.
Forget like he's exists.
Not there. He's going to try to pick up a block, and you're going to run. So pretty much going to throw away that preseason playbook, right? You know, that when I was writing in, making everybody think I was going to do something. We're not going to do that. I think that's how it's going to go, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because he's notorious for doing that, and he's going to put the weight on Jalen Hurts, or Jalen Hurts will put the weight on himself, and they just won't commit to that run game.
Right. And that it's not like Kellen Moore was super impressive last year with the Chargers. I know you can't blame all of it on him. Obviously, that whole place was a disaster, but I don't know. He doesn't give me a vote of confidence. It was clear you lost Shane Steichen, one of the best offensive minds. I know I've been hammering this point, but it's just, we have to talk about it. I don't know if Kellen Moore is the answer. What's your favorite free agency signing so far that's occurred? What's the one you like the most?
I just want to give, I want to preface this by saying this has no statistical debate to it. This has no logic to it.
Okay.
Except for the fact that I'm so good because I said that Marquise Brown should be signed by the Chiefs.
Yes.
And he was. And I said this last season. And you reminded me when this happened. And you were like, holy crap, how did you call that? Like, that's what they did. This is my favorite signing because I'm rarely right on this show. If you guys have watched for any amount of time, you and I both aren't right, but I'm really never right. This is one of those things I call as a long shot. This is my half-court shot. Okay, I just won the Toyota RAV4 is what happened. And this is me. Marquise Brown's my favorite signing. In all honesty, though, I do think this is a huge piece for the Chiefs because they needed that outside receiver, and this is... $11 million, $12 million for 1 year? Like, what do you have to lose? You've got the money to spend.
It's a base $7 million. So they're only paying him $7 million. Incentives can get him up to like 11 or 12, but he's just getting paid seven.
So tell me why this is a bad idea. Like, why not take a shot on him? For Kansas City, this is kind of a perfect fit. And that's why I thought this, you know, almost a year ago now. And that's why I still think it to this day. And it's my favorite signing. Mainly because I was right, but also because it's exactly, you and I have talked about it. They have one reliable receiver, and he wasn't reliable until like the last 6 or 7 games because he had to grow into being an NFL wide receiver as a number one.
Right.
Now this gives him the chance to offload some of his responsibility, and I think you're going to see Rice get better while seeing Brown maybe do things that we didn't know he could do. Because guess who you got throwing the ball to you?
Patrick Mahomes.
Who's he?
Yeah, it turns out he's pretty good at football.
He's all right.
But no, you, it was so funny. Last season, you said it in the middle of the, like before the trade deadline, when all the talk was, okay, the Chiefs are going to have to go trade for a wide receiver. Who are they going to go trade for? Who do they have to get? You said, you know who they should go get? They should go get Hollywood Brown from the Cardinals. And at first I was like, eh, whatever. And then I thought about it. I said, Ryan, that's actually really smart. Be like, I don't know if that can happen. And I kind of hoped it might. It didn't. And then when this free agency period hit, I was hoping, this was a question later in the show, but I'll just address it now when we're on the topic. The question you had written was, is this the receiver you wanted for Kansas City? Because we knew Kansas City had to target one. The answer for me is yes. He was number one for me. I would have put Ridley above him, but I knew that I didn't want to pay Ridley what Ridley
That's
won't.
It.
And what the Titans paid him is absurd. So the fact that we got Hollywood for $7 million, that blows my mind. It's going to be spectacular. He's going to have a great year. I mean, look at the season Juju had 2 years ago.
Right. It was down to those two, Ridley and Brown. And Ridley was just completely overblown. Like, I mean, the contract he got, it still stuns me. And I'm friends with two Titans fans who think that this was their golden ticket. Mm. And I'm like, excuse me? I didn't say it to their faces. So if they hear it on this podcast, I'm sorry, guys. But I just don't think you're right. I don't think this is your golden ticket. Like, you got Will Levis still. I don't think that he's just going to take you to the Super Bowl after he gets Ridley. I don't think Ridley was that missing piece of the puzzle. You have a lot of problems, and that ain't one of them. I mean, that was, I guess is one of them. But like, yeah, it's going to improve your team. But for that amount of money, you could have gone and got like two or three receivers.
Yeah, that's what I was so surprised by. It was clear that it became a bidding war, and they went and outbid everyone else. 4 years, $23 million. Per year with $50 million of it guaranteed. So a $92 million contract after Calvin Ridley's coming off a year that was, I mean, average, to be kind, right?
He was, by PFF, he was ranked 47th out of 128 wide receivers.
Yeah, so I find it baffling.
You just paid that much money to a middle-of-the-road wide receiver.
And I know they need help, but why don't you go make the move for like Hollywood Brown? Or the Bills paid a little too much, but I understand their position. From the Titans' position, you've got so many other things to work on. I understand you want to see how Levis does, and I actually think Levis can be a good quarterback, but it seems it's just too rich.
Difference is the Bills lost Gabe Davis, and the Bills are teetering on a Super Bowl opportunity. They're close. I mean, they've been closer. It's the 90s repeated over again. Like, I'm getting to live this now as a diehard Bills fan. It's not fun. But I understand their move. Like, hey, we'll pay whatever it takes. And we'll pay that receiver whatever it takes to get in here and make a difference. What they did, though, the Titans are in, like, a complete rebuild. Like, they lost their head coach. Like, Tannehill sucks. Will Levis is your guy, obviously. Maybe. And you lost Derrick Henry. And, in what world does an older, because Calvin Ridley's like, what, 28, 29?
He's 29, almost 30, yeah.
You pay a middle-of-the-road wide receiver. The more I think about this, the more frustrated I get.
It's absurd.
Like, you pay him this much money to come and be this, like, lifesaver? Like, this was your lifeline? Out of all the lifelines, why didn't you replicate what the Chiefs did and draft late, get a hidden talent and spend your money elsewhere? Build up the line. Get your quarterback protected. I don't know. Whatever.
Because they have so many needs. But the original question before we got off on a tangent, and that's my fault, but hey, we haven't caught up on this, is what was your favorite free agency signing? Mine is going to be Josh Jacobs going to the Packers. Maybe this is off the wall. A lot of people say running backs don't matter anymore, and oh, they're a dime a dozen. And I understand that you can find one anywhere, so it's not necessary to go pay top dollar for one. The Packers gave Josh Jacobs 4 years at basically 12 a year, $48 million total. Think about how talented the Packers were last season with that entirely young offense. And they had an okay running game, but they dealt with injuries. It was never reliable. Now you bring in Josh Jacobs, an absolute bruiser, who, yeah, had a down year last year, but there was a lot going on. If he can go back to his peak, Green Bay and Matt LaFleur and his schemes with Josh Jacobs and mobile quarterback Jordan Love, to me, this is one of those possibilities are endless signing. I thought this was the one I didn't see coming, and the one that when I saw it, I was like, well, that's a fucking slam dunk.
He's 1 year removed from being the top rusher in the entire NFL. Does this addition instantly make Green Bay a Super Bowl contender to you?
Absolutely. They probably were anyway, right? I mean, the question, it has to be the defense. Like, are they a legit Super Bowl contender? That ultimately falls on the defense, I think. But does this make the offense potentially one of the best in the league? Absolutely. Because they should only improve. Let me take you back not that long, couple months. Ryan, they were up on San Francisco controlling the game. They were a few plays away from going to the NFC Championship game last year.
Ooh, way better than Aaron Jones.